Well, good evening. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right to scripture memory. Shall we pray? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come together tonight. And Father, right before we started, we heard a report related to missionary work up in the Crow Indian Reservation last weekend. And Father, we do want to make that a matter of prayer, not only for fruitfulness, Father, with all of the tracts that were handed out and the thousands of people that were passing through. Obviously, Father, that's item number one, the eternal souls of these folks and their salvation. And beyond that, Father, we understand there was some sickness that that took place as well. So please, speedy recovery, Father, in your wisdom and your timing. And in the meantime, Father, as believers endure the sickness for the glory of Christ, let this be a time of special consideration, thankfulness that this weak body of dust is doomed to go to the dust. And we got a new body on the way with no more sickness, no more death, no more pain. And while I'm thinking about it, Father, I've got a young Boy Scout I'm praying for this weekend, too, with medical tests this morning that weren't as favorable as were hoped. So that is in your hands, Father. We lift that family up as well. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for providing exceeding abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. Father, tomorrow is also the first day of school, I was reminded, and we thank you also, Father, for that. And pray for these students as they begin their next school year, they would be testimonies in to their classmates that a life with Christ is infinitely preferable to this lost and dying world. Pray that they would be bold evangelists. Pray that their scripture memory would equip them to speak of the things of the Lord. And I thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, I guess I'll get our projector up and running here, and we will review. Last week, we gave the final verses for the Holy Spirit portion of our Scripture Memory Program. We do want to go, and I understand it's a school night now with the school year starting, but we would like to have six more weeks, which takes us through the end of September. I believe in October, we're going to have Dan Craw, and we're going to have Glenn Carnegie, and it looks like we'll be able to put the rotation kind of back up and running again starting in October, so we'll have more opportunity for teaching. But at least at this point, it looks like we're going to do six more weeks of Scripture Memory and then begin the Sunday evening student rotation again in October. That's still tentative, but please make that a matter of prayer. We're also praying over the possibility to resume the Thursday night, the Poimenike, the prayer meetings for pastors and churches from coast to coast. I think we desperately need that. So, in any event, keep those matters in prayer as well. All right, we have be filled and we have teaches you. Be filled and teaches you. And those were the verses from last week. I didn't start the projector, did I? Thought I did. There we go. Be filled, which is Ephesians 5:18, and teaches you, which is John 14:26. And since this is the final week of six dealing with the Holy Spirit, we've got a total of 12 verses related to the Holy Spirit, then if anyone would like to stand forth and recite all 12 verses, top to bottom, we can run the list. All right? And actually, I believe Irma already did that. She did that. She cheated, actually, by doing that ahead of time, by getting the book and having them. She had the book already and working it ahead of it. That's awesome. I appreciate it. That's real awesome. But Irma or Christopher or any other ambitious scripture memorizer who wants to stand up and do all 12 verses will certainly be welcome to do so this evening as well. All right, be filled, Ephesians 5:18. Did who worked on that and would like to quote that tonight? Go ahead. Outstanding. There you go. Good job. Do not be drunk with wine. That is despiteful. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Okay. Dissipation? Okay. And look, can I just ask a question, Andres? Can I ask a question? At your age and at your stage of life where you are at the moment, does a Bible verse that says, do not get drunk with wine, does that mean a lot to you right now? Okay. Well, that's good to know. you know, some of these are really more crafted towards adults and others are more, you know, but that's good. And if we get this foundation at the youngest of ages, I think it's just awesome for the rest of your life. Absolutely. Who else did Ephesians 5:18? You can go second, and you already have the benefit of hearing Andres there before you take your turn. Anyone else with Ephesians 5:18? Fallon? Be filled with the Spirit. Awesome. What is dissipation? Anybody bother looking that up? Wasting away, yeah. You looked it up. Well, that's awesome. See, you got to do that. You get a big, long word like dissipation, you say, what is that? You know, do we use that on a daily basis? All right, Lily. Okay. Do you have other verses you memorize? Uh-huh. Which verses were those? The ones before that? Which ones? In 1 John 4:13. Awesome. God's gift in 1 John 4:13. You can recite that one. Is that it? By this we know. Are you doing New American Standard? Are you doing a different Bible? Holman. This is how we know that we remain in Him and He in us. He has given us assurance to us from His Spirit. Is that it? Okay, Holman, that's good. I love the Holman. I'm getting more and more appreciative of the Holman Christian Standard Bible every time I turn to it. I'm really enjoying their readings. Very good, Lily. Appreciate that. We also have with you forever in John 14:16. You know that one too? That's it, word for word. Good job. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Isn't that awesome? To be with you forever. Bugs me how the Muslims say that, oh, that was a promise of the coming of Muhammad. Really? He is the counselor? Really? It says here He'll be with you forever. Did Muhammad stick around forever? I seem to think he died at some point there, right? Anyway, it's kind of interesting. Other verses. Let's go back to... How about walk by the Spirit? Anyone still remember that one from Galatians 5:25? Are you learning these 1 week and then flushing them so you can learn the next ones the next week? Walk by the Spirit. There you go. That's right. If you walk by the Spirit. Excellent. You know, that if is true. You live by the Spirit. You're saved. You're alive by the Spirit. So you should walk that way. You should walk that way. Why walk like an unbeliever when you live by the Spirit? That's outstanding. Helps in prayer. Romans 8:26. Helps in prayer. We do not know how we ought to pray. Anybody remember this one? The Holy Spirit helps with our weaknesses. Is that jogging any memories? Bob? That's it. Excellent. We do not know how to pray as we ought. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Is that verse an insult? If are you insulted when the Bible says you don't know how to pray like you should? I think, yeah, I'm glad you're agreeing that it's not an insult. And even the wisest believer you've ever met in your life still does not know how to pray as he should, because he's going to be limited by his finite understanding. He's going to be limited by his human perspective. He's going to be limited, for example, in praying for a 12-year-old with possible cancer. I mean, goodness, your heart just aches and you want, Father, please don't let this be leukemia. Let this be something curable. Let this be, you know, and you want, you have a heart, a human heart that says, Father, take this away. The Father may not want to take it away. He had a purpose for sending it, you understand. And being able to pray that way, sometimes we don't know how, or sometimes we just can't bring ourselves to. It's really a difficult test of humility to say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. It may be your will for this bad thing to happen. But that bad thing is going to work together for good. It's going to bear fruit. It's going to be, and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. We don't know all of the angles and all of the things that touch upon a test like this. See, you know, if a child passes away, what can be the eternal result from that? Well, what happens if in later years the family members take that pain and take that test, and then they grow through that test, they grow closer to the Lord, they may even launch into ministries, it may produce some eternal fruit like you can't start to describe. But it starts with something difficult. And because of our finite understanding, we would never be clued into that. Not for a minute. So that's a concept. We read about Fanny Crosby earlier. What would she have written had she not been blinded at the age of 6 weeks? Would her life have been the same? Would she have written all the hymns quite the same way? I love the fact that so many of her hymns are focused on seeing Jesus in heaven. And she testified about that. Somebody asked her, if you had the power to be healed, would you want to be healed here on this earth? And she said, you know, strangely, not at all. She thought it was a blessing that the very first face she would ever see would be the face of Jesus Christ in heaven. And I go, wow, there's a faith. There's a testimony. You know, one of the teachers at that school was a man she became lifelong friends with, ministered to. He ministered to her, went on to become president of the United States, William McKinley. Was personal friends with her, and just amazing fruit that she bore. Anyway, I'm getting off on a side trip. More recitation, top to bottom. Who wants to do all 12 verses? Anyone? Chris thinks he's done enough. Okay. We can give you new verses, and also I got to read my chapter for the week. I didn't do which one? With You Forever, I didn't do that one? Well, go ahead. I'm sorry? Oh, teaches you, yes, John 14:26, teaches you. Amen. John 14:26. Thank you. That's awesome. He teaches and he reminds, which I think is just a double portion blessing right there. I mean, the teaching is awesome, but then he reminds after the teaching and in life and in the experience and in all of that. Absolutely. That's fun, too. Okay. I also have some prizes still. I put them away in my office, but I can break them out again tonight. I'm glad that we have the young ones here tonight, too. That's awesome. And do you think you guys are going to be coming back next week and for the next 6 weeks or so? Okay. What I'm going to do, I'm going to earmark some of these prizes. I'm going to earmark some of these books and things. And I'm going to use the next 6 weeks as as the testing ground for deserving those prizes, working for those prizes. All right. So this includes all the young ones here. All right. And that includes Zoe. And that includes all the young ones here. Okay. And some adult prizes as well. Irma, you got a prize, didn't you, from the last round? So we got adult prizes as well. All right. So we'll use the next 6 weeks related to the promises of God. We'll use those for the next round of prizes that we can distribute. All right. So is that exciting? Kids, you want prizes? You like prizes? All right. Cool. I like prizes too. So that's good. From week 16 to week 21, it's 6 weeks worth of Bible promises. And these are going to be fun. And we're going to start with Matthew 18:19. We're going to go from there to Matthew 11:28. answer to prayer is the first Bible promise, and burdened people is the second Bible promise. So don't worry about writing that down right now. We'll get to that before the end of the hour, but that just gives you a preview of where we're going. Let's read my chapter, and then we'll discuss those verses. For tonight, we're reading chapter 16, which is called Appropriating. Appropriating. We must memorize Scripture with a definite purpose in mind. It is not just for the sake of knowing a certain number of verses, but in order to be able to use them and apply them in real life. This also becomes one of the best forms of remembering and reviewing the verses. James, who emphasized the practical side of the Christian life, wrote, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." That's James 1:22. The real test of Scriptures learned lies not in the ability to recite them word for word, but in the understanding and the application of the truth in daily living. The Word of God works effectually in a life when it is received, believed, and appropriated as the very Word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Memorizing Scripture must always be with a view of obedience and submission to God. This book of, quoting from Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Again, that's Joshua 1:8. The internal movement of the soul is definitely affected and motivated by meditation on the Word, as is expressed by the psalmist, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." That's Psalm 119, verses 59 and 60. Many of us have been strengthened by the earnest testimony of, Johnny Erickson Tada. All right. I know who she is. I just never heard her. All right. She said in her book, which she wrote, "By holding the pen in her mouth, I memorized Scripture portions that had great meaning to me. Understanding these messages that spoke to me to better trust God with my will as well as my life. Even when distressing or despondent times came along, I could depend on the fact that He knew what He was doing, as Daddy frequently said. Through memorizing God's promises, I learned that the Lord would take me out of training in this school of suffering, but in His good time." In His good time. There are many among the Lord's people who have been greatly helped by the courageous life and testimony of Eugene Clark from Nebraska. I had the joy of meeting him. Although crippled with arthritis and his body racked with pain, he never complained but continued with his service for the Lord in writing music for the Back to the Bible broadcast. He wrote as follows, "Memorizing the Scripture under your plan during the past 5 years has been an immeasurable blessing. One reason that it cannot be measured is that by systematically memorizing the Word on a regular basis, we tend to absorb it into our lives and it becomes part of us. I have found your plan challenging and workable. The attractive way in which the verses are presented and the incentives along the way have been extremely helpful and useful. About 10 years ago, I lost my eyesight and became bedfast with arthritis. Carrying on a useful ministry and raising a family of 3 children under these challenging conditions have led my wife, Fern, and me to trust the Lord for many things and to reevaluate our lives in the light of His Word. We are convinced that the effectiveness of a life or a ministry is directly in proportion to its closeness to God's Word. The Lord instructed Joshua to meditate in His Word day and night, and then he would have good success. This principle in Joshua chapter 1 was the experience of the psalmist in Psalm 1 and was reiterated by Jesus in His illustration of the vine and the branches in John chapter 15. So this is the testimony of this man and even bedridden, the blessings that he found in memorizing the Scriptures. Scripture is also valuable in resisting temptations. A variety of temptations will come. They come always and they come to each one of us, young and old. Temptation originates within the heart of the sinner himself. It is useless for us to blame God or to say the devil made me do it. A person sins when he is enticed by the bait and drawn away by the hook of his own lust. And this is a development on the James passage that we studied not too long ago. That lust includes the appetites of the body and the evil dispositions of the mind, including pride, malice, envy, love, love of ease, and others. The attack of Satan is strong and savage as he roams about seeking whom he may deceive and devour. His strategies for tripping up the child of God are loaded with subtle allurements. His schemes are long-range, vicious, and intent upon thwarting God's purpose in our lives, if possible. Now, the blessed thing is what did the Lord do when He was faced with such temptations? He had Scripture memorized. And that's the thrust of what this text is talking about as well. Let me skip down here through. From James we hear the command, resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. But the enemy is not easily frightened. He is not easily repulsed. Therefore be vigilant and resist him steadfast in the faith. And do not forget that he, the God of all grace, is ever with you to establish, strengthen, and settle you. Quickly pick up the God-ordained weapons. For your defense take up the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the breastplate of righteousness. Go on the offense by taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is where you've got to have the Scripture memorized. The Word of God and that sword of the Spirit is not the Logos of God, but the Rhema of God. Meaning that you have individual sayings, you have individual verses, individual selections. It's not the generic Logos, the Word of God in general, or doctrine in general, but specific sayings, for example. When it's a food temptation, you have the Rhema that says, man shall not live by bread alone. When you have Jesus had a specific scripture for every specific temptation. And that's why the more verses you have memorized, the more helpful it becomes. All right. The Word of God, having it memorized, is helpful in cleansing us from sin. The Word of God memorized helps us in times of severe trial, in seasons of deep depression, which we're going to study next hour, and in our PMWs over the next 6 weeks, 10 weeks maybe. Having Scripture memorized and seeking wisdom. Let me ask you something. When you're in a Bible class, all right, whether you're here or wherever, I mean, if you're in a Bible class, and you're listening to a pastor, you're listening to somebody teaching the Bible, does it not click better when you can relate it to something else you've already stored away? When you have something else that you've memorized, something else that you've treasured, you have a principle, you have a doctrine, you're able to relate it. I find anyway, and this text is teaching, and I think we all can testify, that the blessings of studying the Word of God are line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's designed by purpose to be connected together with other passages that you've learned in times past. That's how it's designed. And so maybe it is a fact that I'm teaching a concept about walking by the Spirit, but I don't use Galatians 5:25. I use something else. And because I'm using something else, I'm talking about walking by the Spirit, somebody like Lily or somebody else that's memorized these verses could say, I know what he's talking about because I already got that down from Galatians 5:25. And it clicks, and it connects, and it relates. And that's how we're supposed to be learning. And that's a true benefit. So you only do yourself a huge favor by the more Scriptures you take in, the more Scriptures you hide away, the more Scriptures that you memorize. In days of sorrow. And there's a couple other kind of sadder stories on this. Let me read one more snippet, and then I'll give you this week's verses, and we'll deal with those. There's two of them here. Which one do I want to read? Let's read this one. Mrs. Louise Brooks from Texas writes, the memory work has blessed my heart these many years. The Scriptures have sustained me during the death of my daughter. And just recently, having been given some very bad news, they kept me from sinking into the depths of despair. Through seasons of sadness and distress, they have enabled me to triumph and rejoice. Through memorizing of the verses, the Holy Spirit can speak to us. And that is so true. I think, and this is just my opinion, but it's my sense of things based on Scripture, that what God puts us through emotional turmoil, our soul is actually receptive. And it's because of that turmoil, we're receptive, and we need to be receptive to truth. Because if we don't fill it with truth, we're still going to be receptive, but we're going to be looking for some kind of comfort to meet that need of the soul. And maybe it'll be the lie. Maybe it'll be satanic revision. So when we're in temptation, when we're in difficult testing, let's make sure that we're in the Word of God so that that's what we're responding to. Beyond these examples that are in this book, let me take you to a passage. Two passages. And then I'll give you your verses and we'll be done. Let's go to, if you brought a Bible with you, you can turn there. If you didn't, then just follow me on the screen. Lamentations 3. I love Lamentations 3. And if I really had time, we'd show you the acrostic in the Hebrew. That's kind of fun too. But let's not do that. If you think you've got testing, read Lamentations. Okay? The Lamentations of Jeremiah. What he went through as the last prophet standing. Really. I mean, God had taken Ezekiel and Daniel off to Babylon. And who's left in Jerusalem? Jeremiah and a whole bunch of frauds. Phony prophets. False prophets. And the last prophet standing, the one faithful man. And sometimes he's thrown down a well. Sometimes he's abused. I mean, he was just really... And he had to watch Jerusalem fall from inside Jerusalem. See, kind of like we're watching America decline. All right. Not quite as desperate. Not quite yet. But we're approaching that. Now, when you read through these early verses, and I won't take the time to read the whole thing, but the it's just depressing. Down through verse 20. 20 verses of depressing. Okay? Well, real quick. I am the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Is God against you? Jeremiah thought so. We do too from time to time. Surely against me he has turned his hand repeatedly all the day. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. In dark places he has made me dwell, like those who have long been dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. You feel that way sometime? Prayer doesn't work. God's not listening. Okay. And in all of these things he's describing, it was other people doing this stuff. But he's not blaming those other people. He's blaming God. God's the one doing all this stuff. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for the arrow. You feel that way sometimes? You got a big bullseye on your back and God's the one shooting those arrows into you? He made the arrows of his quiver to enter my inward parts. I've become a laughingstock to all my people, their mocking song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunk with wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Now, if that's where it ended, this would be mental attitude, sin, carnality, grumbling, and a problem for Jeremiah. But he doesn't stop here. This is why it's not grumbling, and it's why it's a lament, a lamentation, because he stops and he reorients back to divine viewpoint. And he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. One of the most encouraging passages of Scripture, one that launches some of our favorite hymns, is nestled right here after the most depressing passage of Scripture. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. I think that verse there should motivate every single one of us for Scripture memory. Because if you don't treasure the word in your heart, how are you going to recall it to your mind when you're in the depths of a Lamentation 3 circumstance? You've got to have it in your heart. You've got to have it in your mind. That's where it can spring forth and bear fruit. Okay, so we have that. We have that. I'll save the rest of this for next week. It's a very long chapter. Chapter 17, though, is on abiding. Abiding. And we'll have that for next week. All right, here's your verses. Year 1, week 16, verse 1. So on your card, top left corner, you have Bible promises. That's our topic for the next 6 weeks. That's the topic or the theme. Bible promises. Top right corner of your card, 1/16/1. And the memory device for this first verse is answered prayer. Answered prayer. And your verse for answered prayer is Matthew 18:19. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. I'm going to probably have a follow-up question to this next week. I'm going to ask you some questions related to this. If two of you on earth agree about anything you ask, it will be done for my Father in heaven. That almost sounds like, man, we could really force God to do some things, right? As long as two of us kind of collaborate, two of us can create a conspiracy and we can agree together on something. Is that what really this is talking about? No, expand it out, get the larger context here in Matthew 18, and you realize it's not. That agreement has to come as a result of God working in you. And there's a larger context to that. So we'll have some fun with that. We'll expand upon that a little bit more next week. That's Matthew 18:19. That's an NIV translation, by the way. Yeah, see, this actually comes about in a church discipline context. So we'll talk about that. But again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Do you pray doubting? Do you pray without faith? Don't expect those prayers to get answered. But God will answer prayer. That's a guarantee. He may not answer according to what we want. The answer might be no. But He does hear our prayers. That's a part of our privilege in the royal family of God, the priesthood we have in Christ. And when He does answer no, praise Him for it. Be like David, praise Him for the answer to no. And say, you know what, when He answers no, that means He's got something better. And some of the best prayers I've ever had in my life were the no's. Because God has something better. We can be thankful for that. All right, so that's Matthew 18:19. Secondly, burdened people. 1/16/2. Burdened people. God's got promises if you're burdened. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy and burdened, or weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. That's how I memorized it from the NASB. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let me ask, who are the weary and heavy laden? Who needs to apply this verse? Not us, would you say? Everybody. There you go. That's right. You almost want to have a footnote there, right? Like, if you think this is not you, think again. Ask yourself, why is this not you? We're supposed to be laboring to the point of exhaustion. We're supposed to be toiling for the Lord. We're supposed to be running with endurance the race that's set before us. God has set before us a race that requires endurance. If you're not weary and heavy laden, maybe you're not in the race. Maybe you haven't taken up your cross to follow Him. Maybe you're not on the course He has for you. In which case, there's other issues to deal with. And I will give you rest. That's awesome. That's a great promise. Some of the other promises we have coming up include, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. There's a fun one. How about 1 Corinthians 6:14? By His power God raised the Lord from the dead. He will raise us also. Jeremiah 32:40. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Do you like that one? I hope some of these serve to be motivational for us in our Christian walk. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now a lot of these, by the way, are Old Testament passages directed towards Israel. And for us to make application, we need to have the dispensational understanding. I don't have any problem with these as Bible verses for us because there is application to be made in the church age. All right, so we got some fun ones coming up. A total of 12 of these, including 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Does that verse sound familiar to you? It's the verse we're studying next hour. It's the verse that we're studying as we relate it to psychology and counseling. And what does God make available for us? What does His Word do for us? Everything. What do we need to add to His Word? Nothing. His Word is sufficient. And the sufficiency of Scriptures is what we're going to fall in love with as we proceed through the PMW over the next 6 weeks, 10 weeks, however long it takes us to work our way through the text. All right. Any questions? Anything on these verses? You probably have them memorized already, don't you? You wrote them down half an hour ago and you've been working on them while I was reading this book up here. All right. So work on them during the week. We'll come back next Sunday and we'll recite them. And we got one, two, three. Let's just count on it. If you're here tonight and you're here next week, you will be called upon for recitation. As long as you're... what age should we cut that off? 40? Anyone 40 and under? I can go with that. 50 and under, now I'm in trouble. All right. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for your truth. Your Word is truth. And it's a delight, Father. It's a delight to study. It's a delight to have the in-depth teaching. It's a delight to have the breadth of teaching. It's a delight to have just the memorization and the fellowship in your Word. I thank you for that. Thank you for this time tonight. And we're looking forward to the next 6 weeks, Father, as we continue on with the families and memorizing these verses. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.